The 16th of December is the celebration of the Day of Reconciliation in South Africa. But while we all enjoy the public holiday, some South Africans feel that the reconciliation was never achieved. Part of the citizens have pointed fingers at the work of the TRC, saying it was fruitless. Former TRC Commissioner Yasmin Suka says the blame for division in South Africa should be directed at the state, not the commission, as it had completed its task. The TRC was set up by the newly elected Democratic South African government in 1995. Suka tells us about the objectives of the commission and how these were going to be fulfilled.
Well, the aim of the TRC was, you know, I would argue that it had three purposes. The one was really to establish the truth about our past. Within that, to provide both victims with the opportunity to be heard, and in fact to establish the truth about what had happened to loved ones. It was also focused on providing amnesty to perpetrators who came forward voluntarily and who provided the truth about the violations and the crimes that they had been implicated in. And of course, it was about providing reparations for victims. And it was based on the notion that what we call transitional justice, which is based on the right to the truth, the right to justice, the right to reparations, and the guarantee of non-recurrence, but all with the aim of bridging the divides in our country, which were not only racialized, you know, it was also political economy that was racialized, and there were legal instruments which really were used to discriminate against Black South Africans particularly. And so the ultimate goal was to promote national unity and reconciliation, but on this understanding that you could not get there unless you had this kind of process. The measures that were used were really, I think, documenting the experiences of victims and giving them an opportunity to be heard. And then also hearing from perpetrators around why, you know, the kind of violations they committed, why they did it. And, you know, beginning to analyze that and to begin to develop a sense of what actually happened in our past. Because ultimately the goal was, of course, to ensure that they never, never happen again. And then within that framework to provide South Africans with a narrative of what had happened in South Africa during the years of apartheid. And then, of course, the other measure was reparations.
Suka says it was up to the government and the country's citizens to execute the commission's recommendations.
At the time when the commission completed its work, it believed that it had done the best that it could in terms of the aims and objectives of the Truth Commission. But it also made it clear that they were aspects of the work that would have to be taken forward by the government and, of course, assisted by civil society. And if you read the report of the commission, the Archbishop made it clear that reconciliation is not a gift or a box that you hand over when you finish your work. It's a process that the country walks through. And he made it very clear that to get to that point, the government would need to enact a whole range of measures implementing the recommendations of the commission to ensure that it dealt with the legacy of apartheid. One of those was the commission recommended a wealth tax because it recognized that, in fact, there was such a huge inequality in our country, which was racially based, and that, in fact, Black people had been locked out of the economy effectively and that they didn't really enjoy rights as citizens. And he believed that it was the responsibility of white South Africans or those who were the beneficiaries of apartheid to contribute to that. Now, of course, the government didn't follow that recommendation. And so it became the state's obligation to deal with reparations on its own. And as you know, 23 years down the line, the government has not yet dealt with the question of community reparations. The second point I would argue is that the law set out that if you did not come forward and apply for amnesty for the crimes or the violations you had perpetrated, then the law would follow its course. And so the commission, at the conclusion of its work, handed over a list of more than 300 cases to the National Prosecutorial Authority with a view that they should be investigated and prosecuted, because in order for families to move forward, they would need to have answers on who was responsible. And while there had been many perpetrators who had applied for amnesty, often they didn't commit completely to the truth. And so in those instances, they were refused amnesty. And of course, this is one of the major issues which is dividing South Africa now, that in fact, the families of apartheid victims have been fighting bitterly against the NPA and the state to ensure that there are prosecutions or measures for accountability. And as you know, this culminated in the parliament, the portfolio committee, summoning the NPA and the Ministry of Justice to appear before it this week so that they can account for the delay. And so that remains, you know, and when you speak to many young people in South Africa today, they're deeply disappointed, but they also don't realize that where you should lay the blame for the disappointment is with the state, because the commission did its work, but it was up to the state to implement its recommendations. And when it didn't do so, it really, I think, raised a trust deficit for South Africans. And so the next generation is dealing with this intergenerational trauma as well.
She says that though the TRC completed its task, SA's divisions persist.
I would argue that the commission fulfilled its mandate, and that really it was up to the politicians to ensure the implementation of its recommendations. And I would say that one of the most important issues has been that because the government didn't deal with prosecutions, what it did create was the space for many beneficiaries, including the late former President de Klerk, to argue that in fact apartheid was not a crime against humanity, despite the fact that the international community had declared apartheid to be a crime against humanity.
Former apartheid President F.W. de Klerk had a controversial final message to South Africans released upon his death on the 11th of November.
Allow me in this last message to share with you the fact that since the early 80s, my views changed completely. It was as if I had a conversion, and in my heart of hearts realized that apartheid was wrong. I realized that we had arrived at a place which was morally unjustifiable.
I saw many victims protesting outside the church where there was a state memorial being accorded to Mr. de Klerk, and no one should deny the incredible role he played in helping South Africa to transition. But his denial of apartheid and his denial that the apartheid state was a criminal state, I think, is one which really disservices victims and almost is another violation for Black South Africans who feel that they still live with the yoke of apartheid. Because when you look at the political economy in South Africa, South Africa is the country with the highest poverty and inequality levels in the world, now overtaken Brazil on that score. And that's because this government hasn't really dealt with putting in place measures to ensure proper reparations, but also to change the economy around so that Black people can participate in that economy. Apart from a few political elites, the vast majority have been locked out. And when you look at the impact of COVID on our country, I think it has laid all the fault lines bare. So I would argue that, in fact, the commission did its work. But the flaw, of course, was that once it closed its doors, it was left to government to implement recommendations. And when they didn't do so, it began to help the denial narrative in our country. And that has allowed, the whole question of the denial of the horrible atrocities that took place during apartheid. And so that is why prosecutions are so important, because you have to have some kind of confirmation that, in fact, there were death squads in our country, and they targeted opponents whom they killed. And for that, there has to be some responsibility.
South Africa celebrates the Day of Reconciliation on Thursday, the public holiday dedicated to promoting national unity. For Times Live Podcast, I'm Bulelani Nonyokela.